Well, joining the program now are a mother and daughter artist team, perhaps the first time on Express Yourself.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Sue Grabiel, welcome to Katie and Kay.
Thank you.
Good to have you back.
Great to be here.
And Caitlin Grabiel is here too. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Welcome to Katie and Kay.
Thanks.
So, like mother, like daughter, huh?
Bits and parts, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah. As much as I try not to be, I guess so.
Exactly.
Well, you know, in another 30 years, you'll go, oh, I'm my mother after all. That's yep. the way it works, yep. Isn't it?
Yep. Walk around and I'll make little like noises and she's like, you sound like grandma. I'm like, oh no.
Because I sound like mom.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the way it works. Well, aside from personal characteristics, did you inherit some artistic or maybe an artistic way of looking at the world from your mother, Caitlin?
I think with my parents owning a frame shop and growing up around art, it was always around me, always there. But I actually didn't start out drawing or painting like my mom. I ended up like in clay and kind of doing my own thing and trying to find my own kind of way of art. I think that's why I probably am not a musician like my mom is, because I like kind of wanted to do my own thing. But I mean, I ended up being just as creative, I guess, as my parents.
Well, it was you, wasn't it, that sort of prodded your mother to get back into the visual arts? Because a lot of our listeners know your mother as a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I started out in clay and got into high school and ended up not having time for clay. Didn't really, just a lot of it was just too time consuming. So I really got into visual art, which I think I understood the shapes and forms from clay and understanding how to make those forms 3D and put them into 2D. So I started doing that and got really interested in, there's a figure drawing time that we go to over at CCH, and I started doing it for about a year, and my mom had done figure drawing through college, and she was an art teacher, so I was like, she's like, one day, she's like, I should come with you. I'm like, yeah, why aren't you coming with me? Like, let's go together. And so now it's kind of the last few years been a thing of, like, we kind of go together, and it's a nice little time to unwind and sit down for 2 hours and make yourself do something without any distraction, which is really nice in this crazy world.
Well, art sort of serves that purpose, doesn't it? It sort of centers the mind and kind of helps you make sense of crazy things.
It's truly my meditation.
Is it?
I mean, I love the outcome, and I always like, I want each piece I do, I want it to be better than the last one. But the time, like even if I didn't have shows or whatever, I would still be painting. Maybe not as much or as frantically, but still would be painting or drawing or something. Yeah.
So that need to make it better each time, what constitutes better? Talk about that.
For a long time, I really focused on the technical side. So just really trying to get portraits, figures, just look correct, be to the top, like, just emulating paintings of what I'd seen and just wanting to be professional-ish, even though I have no base under me to be professional. But now I'm really realizing that just because I have a foundational skill, well, with a foundational skill, I have to do something with it that's interesting. And, like, what am I trying to say with my art? What do I want to do with it? What do I want to be? And what is my statement kind of thing? And I think that's really important as an artist.
So when you start a piece, a new piece, is your mindset on the technical things, or are you trying to teach yourself to, I don't know, kiss the muse as it flies by?
Yeah, I mean, before it was really just painting portraits of people was really my thing. And of late, I've been spending a lot of time outside and running around in where we live. And as I'm realizing that I'm going to leave this place and go to college, I've understood how much I love these mountains. And so with my recent show, I've put a lot of portraits in front of portraits of my friends and loved ones kind of in front of these mountains that represent Colorado. All of my pieces in the bonfire right now are 14ers in Colorado, which I thought was kind of fun. And I had never never painted mountains before I started this show, but I don't know, I wanted to do, so I thought of what I wanted to put on the wood or the canvas or whatever, but then once I have the idea, then it's nice because I have a technical base now to be able to portray what I want, which is really convenient and fun because it's like it works and it's exciting. So.
That is exciting. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, I went over to the bonfire today to take a look at all your pieces, and I was kind of shy to get up to some of them because they're right above people talking at the table.
Yeah, coffee shop.
Oh, excuse me. I just want to look at the art. But all the pieces are oil on plywood with resin.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you about that process a little bit. First of all, I noticed that it looks like you prepare the wood a little bit. You sand it? Do you sand it a little bit?
I started sanding some of them, but most of the wood is just reclaimed wood, plywood that I've cut off of like packaging boxes. Actually, one of them in there is an old door to like a cupboard, and it's old wood. And it's like got a cool feel, and I really like the wood texture. I was sanding a couple of them, and then I was like, this is taking me too much time. I don't care. So I just would paint oil. I'd usually like drum what I wanted to do, I had an idea. I'd do the mountain, and then I'd kind of look at where on the mountain like was the best spot to cover with a portrait. And then I would draw on top of that the portrait. And then from there, I'd usually do sections. So face, then the mountain, then fill in whatever needed to be filled in, kind of in that order.
Okay.
But,
And then the resin came last.
And then the resin came last. And it was actually really cool with the paintings because I did the mountains with palette knife, which made them kind of rough and different and kind of, I was trying to represent like really the strength of those mountains. But then I would do the face and the portrait really with soft brush strokes and just trying to like, I don't know, I show that these friends, these women who I put portraits of or whatever, are like the mountains, and their strength is maybe subtle, but they still are just as strong as the mountains is what I was trying to go for. But then with the resin on top of it, I don't know, I think we hold all these barriers in front of ourselves, and sometimes we won't let people in, but with the resin, I left it bubbly and kind of interesting because there's cracks that people can get into and they can see. And sometimes we let down our guards, I guess.
I'm reminded of that quote. I think it was Leonard Cohen. He said something like, I love the cracks because that's where the light comes through.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah. It is something like that.
Well, I noticed right away those resin coatings were not smooth.
No.
Lots of bubbles.
Yeah.
Not a smooth coating by any stretch. And I assume that must have been intended.
Yeah. I also just didn't want it to go all the way to the edge because I think, like, we have edges to ourselves and, like, that we will let people in, I guess. And I just like the rough texture. I like the rough texture of the mountain, the rough texture of the wood, the rough texture of the resin, but then trying to have this like soft, subtle kind of face and I guess womanly, romantic, I guess, in a way. But yeah, I've seen a lot of resin where it's always very smooth and all the way over and it's perfect, and I didn't want it to be perfect. Uh-huh.
Well, why even put resin on in the first place? What's the point of that?
I really, for one, it's just to finish a piece to make it look really finished, but it would bring out a lot of color depth that I think wasn't there in the first place. And it just gave it another dimension that was really interesting.
I was reminded of capturing a moment in amber. Mm-hmm. When I look at the resin, you know, it's you painted a moment and then you preserved it in the resin and it's there for eternity now, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think what's kind of funny is everybody would talk to me and they'd be like, "You're the framer's daughter. Why aren't these framed? Why aren't there glass?" And yes. Maybe that's that.
We
that
do
trying,
get a lot of grief about that.
Yeah, trying to get away
she's
from
a rebel.
That, yeah, that. I don't know. I don't always follow. Like I think framing is beautiful, but I don't want it. I didn't want it to be pristine, and I wanted it to kind of be just stuck where it is. And it was also a way to make me stop painting because I wanted to keep painting. So once the resin was on, it was done, it was there, it was set. And I had to step back and let it go and let it be kind of how it is. So
this pairing of young, beautiful women and mountains was probably intended. Am I right?
Yeah.
Sort of linking wildness between the two. Am I too far off there?
No, that's exactly what I wanted to bring. A lot of the, well, all of the pictures are friends of mine or of me. And I think that we're in an age where, like, a lot of pictures of women are always these pretty beautiful pictures. And yes, of young women. These are also women that, like, surround me and inspire me in their strength. And I kind of wanted to show they're not smiling, they're not being cute, they're not just like happy. I wanted to kind of show their further emotions, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then pairing them with an animal or a dog was showing that, like, just another aspect of strength of, like, I'm guarded and I'm not this cute little girl that you can mess with. Like, I'll bite back.
Those dogs are very regal looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was that a lamb in one of
that
them?
That was.
Wow.
Yeah, that one was fun. She's Shannon Sandiford.
It's a goat though. It's not
It is a goat.
Yeah,
it is a goat.
Oh, okay.
She has inspired me just with her strength and she's basically my big sister, and
you know,
I
Shannon,
just love her
Steve's,
to death.
Yes. Steve's daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to do a happy one. Uh-huh. She makes me happy, and we've been through a lot in our lives together, and I think showing her strength and being happy with this, like, smiling little lamb, goat, little kind of funky little goat in front of this beautiful mountain was kind of a fun little challenge to do of, like, getting her subtlety of spunk, I guess. Yeah,
that's a nice phrase, subtlety of spunk. I like that.
That is a good one.
I'm assuming you used oil paint and a palette knife because of the textural mm-hmm. aspect of things. Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah.
Although, like you said, you were brushing out the portraits.
Yeah, the portraits and the dogs are with brushes, but yeah, the palette knife of mountains, I had, for one, never painted mountains before, and for two, only done a few palette knives, like one or two ever. And I was really focused for a long time on technical, so palette knife was not intimidating, but somewhat annoying, because you can't be as perfect, you just have to go with what is and what that shape is and try to go with whatever shape the little spatula guy makes. And I think with mountains, they are so rough and there isn't an actual, like, exact shape with any of it. So I think it was a fun challenge to paint each one.
Huh. That's interesting. And I guess that, well, let's see. Last year, you were chosen the People's Choice of the Valley Visual Show. Was it the same kind of piece that's in this show?
It was purely a portrait with resin on top.
Okay.
So
on plywood?
On plywood. Uh-huh. And it wasn't a person I knew. It was a picture that I'd found, and I was really intrigued and wanted to bring something of my artistic nature to it. But I was really intrigued. She kind of looks out and is very, looks sorrowful, like, or just kind of angry, I guess, in her, with her eyes. And I liked that because it was a little pretty girl again, but she had something more, and rather the strength that isn't just the little pretty flower that can be plucked up, I guess.
And how did you portray that strength? Was it in the eyes? Was it in the gesture? Was it in the body language?
It was really the eyes. I think I've always been really drawn to eyes. Whenever I first started drawing, really in like eighth grade, I was always, you know, I would just do drawings of eyes. And then I needed to step back because I'd get overwhelming and then I wouldn't want to work on anything else. But her hair kind of fell over her face a little bit of like this kind of protection, as well as her shirt was bigger, but you could kind of see that she was hollowed out in her shoulders and kind of like backing, I guess, or like leaned forward. But then her eyes looked at you of like, don't mess with me kind of thing. And with that resin on top of it, it really was another layer that I put in front of her, but that she could still get through. And I think that it represents a lot of how teenage girls kind of look at the world. Of like, they're pretty little flowers, but there's a lot more to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Well, that's what we love about the women, for sure. Are you going to continue to study art, or are you going to, as a profession, do you want to pursue it?
It's really what lights my fire. Huh. I plan to go to Montana State University next year and study art.
That's the one in Bozeman.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And hopefully Nordic ski for them.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just want to see how far I can get with art. Mm-hmm. I know from being around art and being growing up in a frame shop that it's hard. It's a really hard profession, but mm-hmm. I think I've realized that I want to go to college for learning rather than to get a job. And I just want to learn as much as I possibly can right now of just furthering my skills, because it really just makes me happy.
Uh-huh.
And doing what makes us feel alive.
That's so great, Caitlin.
Yeah.
Sue Krabiel, how about that?
I know. Who would have thought she'd be so articulate?
I would have.
I'm like, wow, I don't have that much depth in my art. I don't know.
No? You don't think so? I'll bet if you did it enough and for a long time.
Well, you know, I might be at the beginning of that. I might be at the beginning of doing the art again in my life. It sort of got, believe it or not, I sort of forgot about it. Isn't that funny?
Huh.
I sort of forgot that's a huge part of me and makes me super happy. I hadn't done figure drawing in 35 years when she walked me into that figure drawing.
And what did you discover when you did it?
Oh, my goodness, I was home.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do it every Monday night, and it's tough to get from work to, you know, the work out in the afternoon and then run home and shovel food in and get to drawing. But I get there, and it's just a great group of people that are like-minded, and it's not a class. It's a group. Anybody can go. And 6:30 to 9:30, and we get nude models. What an amazing thing to have in our town.
Hmm.
It's very unusual to have that opportunity.
Huh.
Yeah, it's just great.
You were an art teacher at one point.
I was.
So you forgot about that.
That's what I meant to do.
Oh, okay.
I was a high school art teacher for 4 years, right out of college in a private school outside of Boston, and I absolutely loved it. I was a teacher. I was a coach. I was in heaven. It was in a private school situation, but I was young and had very little social life within that. And that's what it was difficult for me after I got into the fourth year and realized this wasn't going anywhere socially for me. It was very good for married people and families, but not for a young single person. And so I decided to take a year off from teaching. I came out to Aspen and I was taking a year just to ski. I'd never done anything like that. I went straight to college, went straight to work for 4 years, and now it's time to have 1 year to play. And I worked at Aspen Highlands passing out trail maps and rolling sandwich meat for picnics. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? That's what I was doing. And I ruined my knee in a race course, ski racing in January, like so badly that it was 10 days in the hospital.
Ooh.
Yeah, reconstruction, two ligaments torn. It was nasty. And so I ended up staying to get back on the horse and to have that motivation to get better and to get that reward because I didn't get it. I didn't get to ski like I intended. And coincidentally, the economy was sort of tanked in Aspen and my parents bought a condo and I ended up moving into it and I worked for Footloose Moccasin Makers.
Remember.
I know, that's how we... I made the custom moccasins for 7 years and skied every day and I just had this great... I mean, why would I leave at that point? And then... And then I went back into picture framing when I realized I was getting too insulated again. You know, my social life sort of revolved around the partying ski racers on the weekend, and that wasn't healthy. And the workshop was so small, I didn't really know people. So I went back into picture framing, which was a family business that my parents started in the 70s when they were empty nesters. My mom ran it, and I just knew how to do it. So I went, oh, I'll do picture framing because I'll have interaction with people because I really enjoy that the interaction and helping people design and all. And I ran a shop in Aspen for 7 years where I met Ken, Caitlin's father and my husband. And he was is a great photographer and worked in the photo lab there for 9 years. And we got married, had Caitlin, and then had this opportunity 19 years ago this March to buy a frame shop down in Basalt. And we never would... It just was one of those things where somebody was saying, this is what you're meant to do, and this is where you should live. And so we bought that shop, and it just took off. And Ken became a very good framer, learned to be a framer rather than a photographer. And we've been able to build a house in Carbondale. And so that's how I became a picture framer. Now, having said that, I've always lived a creative life, and I always was a songwriter since I was a teenager, closet songwriter, really wasn't a person that performed much. That wasn't my intention. I always made things. I do, you know, I take silversmithing. I do jewelry as well. I do all sorts of, I always make stuff. And I raised Caitlin to always make stuff. When she was very young, we always did crafts projects. We always made things. We got that little Fimo clay. She'd make little teeny weeny teddy bears in little toaster oven.
When I was
epic
like eight.
Things when she was really little that were so weirdly perfect. It was weird. So we always had that culture. And I had that when I was growing up. I had that culture as well. And but as having a young child, you don't do artwork where you have to. I mean, to do artwork well, you need to do it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like jogging. If you're not doing it regularly, you never get anywhere. It always is difficult. And reaching a fresh piece of paper when you haven't drawn anything in months, and having only 45 minutes or an hour and a half, you're just not warmed up. You can't do it. You can't relax. So I didn't do art projects. I played my guitar because I felt like I could do it interrupted with her growing up. And so then when she started getting interested in it, I would help her when she'd ask. I never sat down and taught her art. I won't claim that I did this, you know, but I was definitely there as a resource and gave her some insight on how to approach some drawings and how to fix things and how to figure out what's wrong and how to make things better and use her own tools to improve things. And it was such a joy for me that it got me sparked, you know, and she, like I said, she's really taken off in the last few years, and going and drawing with her was just amazing to do every Monday night. It was really, really fun. So here I am. So for this fall, I went, I'm going to draw something for the Valley Visual Show.
And it's called The Wishing Well.
Looking Down the Wishing Well,
Looking
I think.
Looking Down the
yeah.
Wishing Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Describe the piece. It's what, about 3 feet square?
Yeah, it might be it might be a little bit smaller than that. Framed size is probably something like that. But it's a circular picture. The drawing itself is circular and
pen and ink.
It's pen and ink.
Okay.
I love pen and ink. I'm an unusual drawer. Pen and ink is my love. I like to build up layers of lines to create the textures and the depth and the tones to give you three dimensions. And it's a throwback to when I was in college. My concentration art was printmaking, etching, and it was I did it with little needle tools on metal to create prints, and that's how you would build up lines to create your three dimensions. So, and I love realism. I just really enjoy that. So I made this portrait. I have no idea where I got the idea, but I literally, one evening I rallied my husband and my daughter, and they were like, "What?" And I go, "I just need you for a minute." And now I just come here. And so I got this trash can, this big trash can from downstairs, and I put a headlamp and a self-timer camera and a dog biscuit down in the bottom of it. And I made everybody look into it from different sides and go, and some of them were not very successful. They were pretty funny. Yeah. And the dog just kept thinking I was going to throw her in. She was freaking out.
She did not like it.
She did not like it. So I pieced together the different views of each person, and it's sort of an interesting family portrait.
Yes, it is.
It is.
You know, and it's going to be a family heirloom in your family, isn't it?
It is.
I can see that. It just captures a moment in time in your family so well.
I know. And honestly, I priced it high because I really, really didn't want anybody to buy it because I really want to keep it. Uh-huh. It just makes me laugh and smile. And each personality is so of them. I mean, my husband has this grin on his face that is so him. It's just very funny. So it was really enjoyable.
Well, you know, I'm trying to picture how my face would look if I were looking through the wishing well.
Or looking down, too.
and you know, I was trying to decide, well, I'm either going to be super surprised at what I see, or it's just going to be, another day or another moment.
Well, a lot of us, when we look down, we aren't really that happy with how we're looking when we look down either. But it was just, it wasn't about looking any particular way. It was just kind of going, what's in there? Just kind of particularly the dog is like, what are we doing? I have no idea where we're here. So it was a lot of fun. I'm really happy.
There's kind of I don't know how to describe it, a kind of peaceful curiosity.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it was anything earth shattering, but you're all just kind of looking and it's kind of interesting.
It could be something like, oh my goodness, there really is a wish in there. Uh-huh.
Or there's a troll that's ready to get you.
Or I can't quite tell what's in there. I'm not sure. Anyway, it was a lot of fun to do, and I'm very happy. And from here on out, I mean, now, you know, Caitlin, unfortunately for me, is going to be going away to college. And suddenly I'll have space in the house that isn't cluttered with all of her artwork. Our house is, my husband, he's very patient with all of the art and art supplies scattered through every room in our house. But who knows? I may pull paint back out. I used to oil paint. This was another lifetime ago, and I'm very excited to see how that may go for me.
How about that? Are you still writing songs?
Not as many. Uh-huh. But I wrote one last weekend, inspired by the Pussy Hat Project.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
I'm just, you know,
millions of pink pussy hats all over the
continent. I sent three of those out into the world.
Did you?
One of them was in Washington. One went to Washington, D.C., one went to Denver, and one went to Aspen. I was busy that day chasing Caitlin at a Nordic race, so I wasn't able to go to any of them, but I felt as though I participated. Uh-huh. And it was really cool to see how it really did take off, that the pink hats everywhere. I had no idea if it was really going to take off, but to really then see the photographs of them all over the place was pretty cool.
How did that look to you, Caitlin, as an 18-year-old woman?
It's definitely, I mean, I've never really felt in this valley especially that women were any lesser, but realizing as I've grown up of what is equality and what that means, it's a really amazing thing. And I mean growing up in history class, I look to like the 70s and the 80s and just times of when people of unrest really and change and I don't know, women's rights, gay rights, black rights, and realizing that I was kind of like looking back at that, I really was just, oh, that's never, change isn't going to happen anymore. Like, that was such an influential time. But I'm realizing now that my life is an influential time, that we're going through riots. We still have places to go. And I want to work to help with that movement. So I don't know if I'm really quite there with political art, but maybe in my future I could do something like that.
Well, you know, you have to be careful with political art, don't mm-hmm. you? Because it wouldn't yeah. stand the test of time necessarily, unless it has a lot of soul in it.
True, exactly. But then maybe it's iconic.
There you go.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, in unsettled times, my thinking is that art is a pretty valuable thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and unsettled times, by their very nature, inspire
yes.
the great art. I mean, yes. I have a tremendous community of singer-songwriters that I know because of the annual songwriting camp that's in Lyons every summer that I've been going to since 97. And I tell you, there are a ton of songs being posted now that are just really poignant and interesting and wonderful songs. You know, not necessarily anthem, whatever, but really moving. It does move people to create beautiful things mm-hmm. from you know, I mean, really super happy people usually write boring songs. It's going to be a great period of art, I'm sure.
People
are very moved.
Right now, really, instead of more political art, I am really focused on environmental because that, to me, is the most important thing that's happening in my life right now and what we all need to really work towards in making our world healthy, because I love our mountains and I love our rivers and our oceans, and I want to live in a place that's healthy and that provides me with a healthy body and a healthy mind and healthy children and healthy grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And so I think with the mountains in my pieces and whatnot, like, maybe it's another draw of just the, like, it's just a beautiful thing to have this wilderness right here that is pretty healthy and thriving. And I want it to stay that way. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to change. Maybe get healthier in other places. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really what's on my mind right now. Mm. Though women's right is very important.
Well, the idea of encapsulating that in a piece of art is pretty attractive to me. And I imagine to a lot of people too, not just me.
Yeah.
And obviously you're expressing that.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I just love the mountains. And for a long time, I really just like wanted to get out of here. I felt like this valley was super small, which it is, but I thought I was going to go to like Hawaii for college for a long time. And then I was just got into skiing, really just started to fall in love with the mountains. And I'm like, I want to go to more mountains for college. And like, oh, I'll go to Montana where there's more winter and more snow and more cold. Huh, that's interesting. Like where life takes us.
Yeah. You'll learn how to paint snow, which I'll bet is not very easy.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We'll see, exactly.
And you're going to be right next to Yellowstone. Lots mm-hmm. of subject matter there, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. Definitely love the Nordic skiing there in West Yellowstone is really fun, too. So it'll be fun.
Great.
Yeah.
Caitlin Krabiel, thank you for joining Express Yourself today.
Yeah, thank you.
And Sue, same to you.
Oh, thank you very much for having us.
Really happy to see you guys happy with what you're doing in your art. That's
oh,
so
yeah.
cool.
Thank you so much.
That's really great.